Hello, dear listener, and welcome back to Jodie into Terror, the only Doctor Who flashcast terrified at the prospect of having to sit down and have a conversation with each other. We've just watched, merely a day ago, the very, very first Doctor Who New Year's special, I guess, unless you count Dalek Master Plan 8 and
End of Time Part 2.
Actually, scratch that. Forget I said that. I don't know anything about Doctor Who. And so we're here to give you our scalding hot takes on the episode. So let's start with Todd. Todd, what did you think?
I was relieved. that I actually enjoyed it, and it was actually quite good. I mean, there's a few niggly things, but I was happy that, you know, Jodie got confrontation with the Dalek, and she got confrontation with Ryan's dad. There was a bit of an edge to her performance, and she wasn't just info dump grimace face doctor, which she was becoming. And so it made me sort of relax into the episode. Like, you know, I wasn't just looking at her performance the whole time. I liked the way in which the Dalek was used to get back into its casing, and I thought the performance of that actress, who was possessed for most of the time, was absolutely outstanding. Yeah. I really loved it. And you know, the Dalek just went psychotic. I mean, don't get me started on the number of deaths. I mean, we'll talk about that in a moment, but even I was mortified by that. The other thing, going to the other story, which of course was Ryan's dad, again, really hard for an actor, I think, to come in and give a likable performance. Like, I thought he did a really great job, and Ryan and Graham in that whole, you know, that whole subplot. Really, I mean, I had tears at various times, and, you know, big bonus points to Ryan for liking the Sydney 2000 fireworks. that was great. And, you know, I loved seeing the TARDIS materialize and dematerialize in front of people and go through the inside of the blobby thing from the three doctors, the gel guards. I just love that. So they were all things that I absolutely, you know, really loved about the episode. You know, there were a few things that I guess, I don't know, we can talk about the setup or there was something else I was going to say, of course, poor Yaz was Nissa nobody again, and I think it would have been much better had she been actually taken over by the Dalek at some point, since they were in Sheffield. But besides that, you know, I'm sure you guys have got other things to say, but I give it 7.5 to 8 out of 10. I just enjoyed it.
What did you think, Brendan?
Look, I have to agree with Todd. I really quite enjoyed it. But I am going to take exception. Yaz got to do two things this episode. Thank you very much. Admittedly, it was the same thing both times. It was take Lynn out of the building. But she got to do two things, so...
So there was almost a hint at her policeness, sort of, wasn't there?
Yeah, you know, she says, I've got both your details, and
that, oh yeah,
yeah. Why did you ask for our numbers, by the way? Oh, I'm a police woman. There's been all these opportunities to say I'm a police officer, and she's done. It's just weird. It's just very weird.
Just flash your badge.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's the easiest way of getting in there. You can't save that. We've got the clean
lyric.
Oh, bad. I beg your pardon.
I'm sorry, it's my list.
No, I really did enjoy this one. I was talking to a friend of the podcast, Alex Gibbs, about this episode, and something I really loved about Aaron, Ryan's dad, is that he is not painted as a horrible person. Mm. He is just someone who suffered a loss and handled it poorly. And then it took suffering another loss of the same magnitude and handling that poorly for him to realize, I need to do something.
Yeah.
And one thing I kind of took exception was at the end, when he gets possessed, he kind of gives a classic Doctor Who, I'm possessed, I'm kind of going to stumble around performance. It's really good, but in a different way to Lynn's performance. But I really thought that Ryan should have had a bit of a go at the Doctor for risking his dad's life without saying what she was going to do. Mm. And that's an that's been an ongoing problem for me, this series, that really only happens in the last episode, you know, when Graham says, I'm going to kill Tim Shaw. We know he's not. But occasionally I'd like the companions to kind of say, oh, actually, hold on. You know, we're risking people's lives here, et cetera, et cetera. And, yeah, but it's a minor thing. I give it 8 out of 10 as well. And I would like to point out that Gay Cop is probably still alive because most fingerprint and hand scanners need a living body. He's probably just unconscious, so he'll be fine.
Yeah, I thought we were going to, you know, have two dead lesbians and one dead gay guy for this season, which, you know, was very kind of bury your gaze, and I was a little bit irritated by it. But I'm prepared to accept that.
Is Tribunal reacting against the gay agenda?
No, he's absolutely
I'm joking.
And he is trying to do representation like Moffat tried to do in Series 6, you know, and at least he comes out of the gate attempting it. But, you know,
The body count was horrific.
I actually think, like, compare it to Dalek, right, where that Dalek kills, like, 200 people with just, like, two shots or three shots, you know, and it needs to be there so many years later now to show how the Doctor's not exaggerating when she says that this Dalek could take over the world or destroy the world or whatever. Mm. But plot-wise, that had absolutely – there was no need for that to be there. That entire scene could have been excised and, the you know, it had an important role, but not an important role in the plot, I think.
Mm.
It looked great. Good. Yeah,
it
I agree.
It looked great.
Yeah.
I want a toy of it now.
It looks like it's
an Al Dewar.
it actually looks like a Louis Marx Dalek almost, because of the sort of squashed middle section.
Yeah.
I thought it looked great, and I thought it was a bookend to the first episode where the Doctor makes her new sonic screwdriver in a warehouse.
Oh, exactly.
In a workshop, yeah. Rather. Yeah.
I was thinking that, watching that. I was like, ah, parallels. Mm. I thought that was very well done.
I think the whole episode was the bookend to the season, because it also didn't have the opening credits. And at first I thought, oh, that should only be saved for special times. But then I realized that this resolution was not only the Doctor's New Year's resolution, it was a resolution for Graham and Ryan.
Yeah.
In their whole ongoing plot throughout the series. And I also realized that, you know, we've had, like, you know, in past series, like, you know, the big bad's the Master running through, or, you know, all this foreshadowing, but this time it's been their relationship getting to where it is, and their growth. That's been the ongoing, you know, plot arc is that. And so that really did affect me. I guess the one thing that I found, and I still struggle with, is the fact that you have these big action sequences and things are sort of building, and then you go back to that character stuff, and I feel the pace, like, just sort of slow down.
There's, like, so 5 minutes in the cafe where Ryan and Aaron are talking while there's a Dalek on the loose. And I have to say that I found the Ryan and, you know, I've complained about the dialogue in this series before. I think it lacks subtext. But I do think that, you know, Ryan got to take control of that and tell his father what he needed and what he'd done wrong. And I thought it was done so well, and it was done, you know, he doesn't let Aaron off the hook, but he doesn't rub his nose in it either. You know, it seemed sort of fair and like properly grown up, you know, that he was able to confront things in a way that Aaron hadn't been. I thought it was good. But I did hear people complain about it, though.
No, I thought it was good. It just, as you said, it was 5 minutes in the middle of that, which sort of I'm going, okay. And I thought Graham handled it, you know, after the initial, like, closing the door, which was
yeah, enough. That was funny. That was good.
Yeah, it was funny. But I thought he handled it very well, because he could have gone off his rocker. But his advice and everything was just beautiful. I mean, he's still my MVP for the whole season. Mm. And I just love the way that this resolution, you know, it is a bookend to the season. It is part of the season. It is really the season finale, really.
Yeah. Well, I'm prepared to almost forgive Ranskor out of Kolos for being such a crappy season finale, given that we got quite a good one. James, we went round the horn, and as usual, we just completely failed to ask you what you thought in the great Jodie and Terra tradition.
I'm keeping score. I'll have my revenge. I think the point that you made about the bookends was really. I saw that too. I thought also the parallel with the Dalek reconstructing itself, it's almost as, you know, it's metatextual. It's like the Doctor reconstructs her sonic screwdriver and in effect the show in episode one.
Yeah.
And then the Dalek does the same thing. It's same kind of going, you know, like, this is us rebuilding this from the ground up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I really enjoyed that. And it was kind of the steampunk Dalek was quite cool.
Yeah.
And I couldn't fault any of the acting. There were moments when I was in tears, especially with the stuff between Ryan and his father and Ryan and Graham.
Yeah.
I thought it was really well done. I was really pleasantly surprised. And I thought it was, you know, it was probably drama-wise one of the more strong specials that we've had in years. In terms of, it felt like it was doing something not just a fairy tale or...
Yeah.
There have been some quite good specials which have dealt with some quite deep emotional stuff in recent years, but I thought this one was a really solid story.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I agree. I'm still not on board with all of the aesthetic decisions that are made this season, and I certainly understand why they're made. And certainly the cast were interviewed saying it was going to be epic, and it's kind of like, well, I'm sitting there for 50 minutes, 60 minutes going, well, if this is so epic, where's the reality bomb then, you know?
I did like the Brexit related joke about units.
Yes.
Brexit
and Trump, I think, probably as well.
You're sitting there going, oh, yes, units coming back. It's like, damn. Oh, this is a really dark sort of. This is the darkest timeline, isn't it? Yeah. Really.
I think, he tried to do more jokes. He's been a bit humorless, Chibnall, throughout the year. What did people think of the family?
Can I just say that Gump Face family? Nobody's ever going to have a conversation with them ever.
No wonder they always spend the time in their rooms.
I actually really like the mother's delivery of that line, but it was a bit of a pseudo joke in the sense that it wasn't actually that clever, and the point had already been made, I think.
Mm. And it, for me, it was just played a little too broadly and a little too archly. For the same reason, that means I kind of love it, because I love that kind of thing. But I really wanted the punchline not to be quite so on the nose. Like, I was expecting it to say, Scrabble?
I liked that take on it, Brendan.
Also, Chibnall doesn't actually understand how video games work, because most of them you can play offline. Like, literally 95% of video games you can play offline, the kids are fine.
Yeah.
They have an Xbox.
Yeah, I do think that Chibnall does have a tendency to go for the very obvious line. He is not in any way Captain Subtext at all.
Do the kids have a microwave oven?
And again, I thought that was great. Strap a microwave oven to the Dalek and destroy it. I did something very similar on the planet Spyridon, I think.
Spyridon. I did think her event horizon thing, sucking out the Dalek or whatever, that was a bit we've got 3 minutes left, this is what we're going
it's
to
a bit
do.
Deus Ex Machina,
yeah, but
like, let's just open the doors and suck it off.
as it were. But I mean, we did that to the Pating as well, only without killing him. Obviously, we gave him a well prepared meal and then pushed him into space.
Yeah. I have no memory of that. the actual premise of it, like, you know, with these three different groups splitting up the Dalek and all of that, I don't know that. I mean, I just kind of thought, really, they're just going to leave the body there with that part. Like, can somebody explain to me this? Like, you know, when the Dalek got the UV lamp or whatever it was, does that mean it could then transport the rest of its body back?
Yep. Okay. Into the plastic bag.
Into the interstitial vortex.
Yep. Okay, a wizard did it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, pretty much.
Sorry. It's Murray Gold is back.
Oh no.
Before we finish, can I just say something I really loved?
Yes.
And that is, you know, I've been saying for 12 episodes, I want the Doctor to be put in a situation where she actually acknowledges, I don't want to have to be cruel, but I'm going to have to be. And this episode gave me that.
I like, too, that she threw back to everyone else and said, look, I'm trying to be nice. And, like, I'm rewatching the Tennant era, and what you kind of forget, and you get it with Eccleston as well, in fact, you get it with all of the previous male doctors in the new series, is that they're all kind of a bit dickish and arrogant. And, you know, Tennant in particular with the snarly teeth thing. I'm watching New Earth for no particular reason. And, and you know, the snarly teeth thing where he's yelling at the nuns and stuff. And it's like, it's a bit obnoxious. And she very definitely doesn't want to do that. But she still... Yeah. And so I think that the downside of that is that we're not going to get much from Jodie in the way of acting, because I just don't think she's going to give us the opportunity to see her being properly angry. But I kind of am on board with this reconception of the character.
Yeah, because isn't sort of over-the-top anger what we all, like, we as a group, just privately, spoiler alert, dear listener, always criticize Tennant for.
Yeah.
It's the one thing a lot of us, if not all of us, really hate.
Yeah. But I mean, all of the doctors do it. Yeah.
Yes. But just that little bit puts the comment of calling it the Dalek a refugee, which initially rubs me up the wrong way, into context.
Yeah.
It's not, as some people have suggested, it's not an anti-refugee sentiment. It's the fact that the Doctor can have compassion even for a Dalek.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think I like that. But I do, you know, I do miss...
You worry about the drama.
Well, yeah. I guess that's it.
Yeah, I understand.
Look, I think the episode gave me hope that if Chibnall can write like this more consistently, I'll be personally a lot happier.
Yeah. I don't think that the episodes have necessarily been bad, but I do think I miss, you know, I was hoping that as the police car was driving down the highway that, you know, the Doctor would bounce along behind it in the TARDIS or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bit less crazy and a bit less cartoony than it used to be. And it is sort of trying to be more serious drama. And I don't know. I don't know if I'm totally on board. Say
it travels through time and space.
Oh, the joy on his face when he says that as well.
It's like London, 1965. That's his meme, whatever that is.
All right. Well, the Matt Smith's theme has obviously just sounded and told us that we need to wind up. Any last thoughts, gentlemen?
Good stuff.
Okay, good. Excellent.
Enjoyable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, good. Excellent. All right, well, this is the only Doctor Who episode that we're getting this year in 2019, which means that we will be back early in 2020 for more Jodie into Terror, I imagine. I'm actually holding out hope that there will be a New Year's special for 2020, but obviously no announcement's been made, and we've got no way of knowing, but that would be kind of cool. in any case, we will see you in 2020. We will also be back later in the year. Plans are furiously underway to do our coverage of Series 2, David Tennant's first series, over on our parent podcast, Flight Through Entirety. And in the meantime, you can catch up everything we've done all the way since the pilot, Episode 0, to our recent commentary on the Christmas Invasion. You can find that on flightthroughentirety.com, Flight Through Entirety on Facebook and Apple Podcasts, and at FTE Podcast on Twitter. I guess that's it. Yeah. All right. So we'll see you then, and thank you very much for listening, and good night.
Good night.
See you in 2020.
Hindsight always is.